Love them and leave them. Sup, cousin? Welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. My goal is to give foundation to the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you haven't guessed already, my name is Coco. Today's episode is brought to you by the flames that fuel us. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review for a weekly feeding of your inner fire. So this episode wraps up our conversation on the classical elements as they relate to hoodoo. Our first episode was on spiritual baths, where we touched on water's place in hoodoo. Our second was on thoughts and prayers and the air element in hoodoo. Our third was with your auntie, my mama, and the benefits and uses of a well-kept garden, as well as touching your roots and how that relates to the earth element. And if you're looking for spirit, cousin, I'd suggest going back to episodes like Animism in Hoodoo, or There's No Karma in Hoodoo, or any of the multiple spiritual journeys that have been discussed on this podcast. I think if you're looking for spirit, you can find it there. It's my goal to make a playlist on YouTube that has everything you need if you're just interested in this particular part of the practice. If you're trying to like build a small little practice for yourself, not necessarily in a traditional way, you don't have a mentor, this is something that can definitely get you doing something for yourself. It might not be traditional hoodoo, but it's definitely something that'll get you in that mindset. It's something that'll get your practice upright. Okay. So, you know, if I have a playlist on YouTube, maybe you don't have to hunt around. It's right there. So we did water and fire. That's what's left. Fire, baby. Fire and desire. That's what's left. So we're going to talk about fire's place in, our practice. Okay. So much like spiritual baths and the usage of water, candle work and just using flame in general is a cornerstone to a solid working practice. Again, you might not be doing work for others. This might be work for yourself, but it's like a great foundational piece to have down, right? Is understanding candle work, understanding setting lights and setting tables for those lights. As a matter of fact, you can open up a new browser page right now, type in hoodoo candle work, and you'll find 1 million different candle setups and spells to choose from, okay? And cousin, they get downright complicated, sometimes legitimately absurd, and there's a lot to wade through because you have to, I think I've said this before, you have to check authenticity, you definitely want, if you're online and you're trying to follow a modern practitioner, you're looking for their, like, are they authentic or are they trying to pretend to be something they're not? So even once you weed that stuff out, you still got like a million and one other things to weed through, right? Like it's a lot out there. And like I said, they get downright absurd sometimes. So like, it'll say stuff like, oh, you're doing justice work. You'll need 9 blue candles, 8 white candles. You're going to place it all in a silver steam tray that we use at our cookouts. Be sure to dip your candles in olive oil up to the wick. Then use all 11 herbs and spices you have in your cabinet and sprinkle that on the candle like you're seasoning, a 5-pound tray of chicken wings. Then light up each candle in a figure-8 pattern while reciting Psalm 91. If your house is set on fire, then child, it means the spirits have heard you. You know, it's just, it gets a lot. It gets to be too much. But all jokes aside, candle work can be pretty complex. And that's not necessarily new. Zora Neale Hurston talks about one of her mentors using colored boxes and correlating colored candles to do the work, right? Each box being sort of a altar setup. And during one of her initiations, she was specifically granted the power to handle candles after a complicated snake-like ritual of passing the flames. And to be fair, as you move along in your practice, you might start getting weird. You might start getting complicated, incorporating mirrors, having elaborate altar setups. You start moving candles in different patterns and positions, like a chessboard almost, so on and so on and so on. You know, the shit gets complicated, like I said. But as complex as it can get, let's start by just breaking it down to its absolute basics. How about we do that? So we have a place to start from, and then we have a place to build to. So when we do candle work or lamp work, we are utilizing the spirits of fire. The spirit of the flame is that of transformation. And Harry Hyatt's section on candles in his first book of hoodoo witchcraft, all that, he prefaces it by saying candles whose spiritual smoke penetrates the hidden corner and rides the four winds and the five waves, right? So the flame, it takes what we feed it and releases the spirit and prayers via smoke, right? That's us using flame as a catalyst to do the work. You can also look at it like the wax and herbs and whatever else is an offering to the flame itself, like you're bartering or creating a spiritual contract. I feed you these herbs and oils and fuels, and you work in tune with my will, right? In either instance, I lean more towards the first, that the flame transforms and releases the power, right? That kind of thing. But either way you look at it, the fire acts as raw energy or like a raw power source. We set it up, right? We anoint the candle. We crush the herbs. We say the prayers. We set it up. And the flame takes care of the rest of it, right? High energy on the flames. And it's kind of, once after the setup, it's kind of passive for us. For some people, though, candle work is all about intention. No spirits required. I don't think that's a very hoodoo, root work, conjure approach. I think that's a very modern witch approach. And it's something that I do not subscribe to at all. But I see where someone is coming from when they think it's all intention. No spirits, just intention. Why don't I subscribe to that belief? I don't subscribe to that belief because I think that something is going on there that is more than just our intention. I honestly think that when we do work, we are conducting an orchestra. Right? Our will is the conductor, and the spirit of each thing we work with is playing the music, right? So our will, our intention keeps things in time and moving forward and, you know, builds and crescendos till we get what we want. But these curios, herbs, roots, items, hands, whatever, are working in our favor. The only time that that's not the case, I think, is when we speak our will, when we go back to that air element of prayer. And at that point, we're using our own raw spiritual power to perform the work, right? And honestly, that shit can get very tiring, you know, like the preacher sweating bullets on the pulpit, you know, just shouting and moving his spiritual energy around, trying to get his message into you. Like, that's raw spiritual power. You know what I mean? That's raw charisma, raw spiritual power. And that shit gets tiring. So you know, we use tools, we use hands, we use other things to help us push that power around to achieve what we want. But yeah, when we do candle work, we are utilizing spiritual power outside of ourselves to get that work done, specifically using the flame as a fuel to that power, like as a power source, you know, as a way to transform our will into, you know, magic, right? As a way to push it out into the world so we can get what we need, right? And I don't think we can do that with intention alone. I can intend to do a lot of things, right? But just because you intend to do something or you intend for a thing to do something doesn't mean that it will, right? There's definitely I talked about that. Well, I sat in on a conversation about intention versus will when I went to a spiritual convention just a little while ago called Sacred Space. And it was Matt Arn. I think I said his last name correctly. He was talking about the difference between intention and will. And it was basically that, like, I can intend to work out, but do I have the drive, the motivation, the action to do so, right? Like, do I have the will to do it, right? Like that difference. So I don't think intention is important to have, but it's not everything. You know, we use tools and things to get what we want, to push that will forward into the universe. At least that's my two cents. But I digress. Hyatt also goes on to explain that, and this is a direct quote, the two fundamental aspects of candles and hoodoo are color and power. Okay, so power is straightforward, as we've already discussed, right? But the color is a little more complex. I have an episode about color and hoodoo. Too long, didn't read. It's confusing. It gets downright confusing as you navigate the new, the old, and the appropriated. I personally don't let the color of the candle stop me from doing work. Opting instead to focus more on the power aspect. However, when I do work with candles and the color of the candle, it's usually in a devotional aspect. And I've more or less built my own color system rooted in Harry Hyatt's collection of folklore and Zora Neale Hurston's collection of anthropology texts. For more on color, check out my episode Color and Hoodoo. But yeah, it gets complicated. There are some like reoccurring color patterns, but it really goes from practitioner to practitioner as to why they choose the color they choose. Okay. So if you're just starting out, I would say get yourself a white candle and work on power, work on understanding your, like, the actual candle work itself, like the mechanics of it, and then incorporate color later once you understand the fundamentals. As a matter of fact, I would tell you to get a white one, a black one, and a red one, and work there. Work there until you have either a mentor that will work with you through color and color correspondences, or until you develop like your own color correspondence, color meaning as you work. So when it comes to candle work, I like to keep it deceivingly simple. I keep a few things in mind as I work. One, I ask myself if doing candle work, if setting lights is the best for this work. Okay, best for this job. Two, I decide on the type of candle I want to use. And third, I decide how I want to dress the candle, where I'm going to place it. Okay. So first, does this need to be candle work? I feel like because candle work is so versatile and obvious, and maybe even a little passive on our part, like I've said before. It's the first thing people reach for, right? Oh, I'm crossed up. Let me light a candle for that. Oh, you know, my money's tight. Let me get a candle for that. Like, it's the first thing we think of. And I'd like to challenge you, cousin, to stop and think about whether candle work would be the most effective, right? Either outright the most effective or the most effective on its own. So can you light a candle for protection and to ward off the evil eye? Yeah, you can. But it might be more effective to just do the spiritual bath or, you know, fix a mojo to wear, you know, if you're going through a knowingly spiritually risky situation, right? Can you light a candle to fix your boss? Sure you can, but it might be more effective to sweeten them up or lay a trick with oils and powders and so forth, right? Something they have to touch, something that gets on them. Yeah, you feel what I'm saying, right? Like, I feel like candle work, though versatile, is most effective if it's connected to some sort of ritual or work that can't, like, you cannot cover yourself with spirits otherwise. Right? Or work that, like, you need, like, if, how do I want to say this? If you need something in that moment, if you're going gambling, if you are, you know, playing games of chance, if you are going to the spiritual event, you know, sure, light your candle, but you're not going to light the candle while you're there. And you might want something on you while you're there. You understand what I'm saying? Like, sometimes it's not always the only thing you need or just straight out the thing you need to do. Okay, so the second thing to keep in mind is the type of candle you want to use. So the decision is made, someone did you wrong, and you decide to do a return to sender, or you want to do a protection candle, or you want to bless your home, or whatever it is that's going on. You've made that decision, and you need to go into your reserve chest, or you need to go to the Botanica and get a candle, okay? Usually, there's a wall of candles when you go to the Botanica or the witch shop. So you have options here. The first thing you're probably going to look for is the 7-day or the novena candle, okay? These usually come in glass casing. You can find ones for Ogun, for peace, for death upon your enemies, for saints, for black cat, you know, all sorts of that, like, commercialized hoodoo stuff, right? They all come in a candle. Hajjan candles, all of it comes in a candle, right? And they usually come in that 7-day or novena. Those are great to use because, especially if it's work that's going to take some time, right? If it's work that you don't mind, you know, having power for 3, 7, 9 days, like you're working it for a long periods of time, that's good, right? Those are good candles to use. And honestly, when people think hoodoo, that's the first thing they think of. They think of that 7-day or that novena candle. Then you have your tapers and other types of pillars. So these come in various sizes and colors. Think candlesticks like a romantic dinner, or the small wicca wicks or chime spell candles. And for pillars, I want you to think that, like, big slab of wax, right, that comes without the glass casing, that you would put in, like, the middle of a table setting just to be cute, you know, that when you walk down that aisle in Target or Walmart, right, they have, like, various fat sizes of candles. Those are the pillar candles I'm thinking of, okay? I usually use tapers and chimes if I'm not going anywhere and the work is a one and done type of thing. So I've got, you know, 7 hours to sit there and just let the lights burn, right? I'm not going anywhere that Sunday. I got time, right? Or if I don't have time and I only have 1 or 2 hours and it's a one and done situation, I use a little wicca wicks or chime candles, right? The huge pillar candles that have, like, a 9-hour, you know, burn, the ones that, or even up to, like, like the novenas, like the 7 to 9 day burns, I use those as mainstays on altars, much like I would a novena candle. So, for example, right now I have to go, I either have to pour one myself or go to Walmart and get one. But on my working altar, where I do most of my work, right? I would keep a pillar candle dressed there. Always dressed. It's always there, always anointed, always there. And I light it as I'm doing work, right? If you've seen Sinners, that's what Annie had. She was at her table and she took Smoke's Mojo bag. She lit her candle and she prayed over the bag, fed it, refreshed it, etc. That kind of candle, right? It's just always on my altar, right? So when I'm saying my prayers in the morning, if I'm meditating, if I need to get into that space, that candle is always there. So then you have those smaller pillars, like the really small pillars, like tea lights or votives, okay? So some people equate the size of the candle with the amount of power required for the work, right? So if that's how you want to think, that's appropriate, I think. So you're doing some huge thing and you're setting a candle out for a saint and you're asking for some major blockages in your life, for example, you might go for that 7-day novena candle that's in the glass, or you might go for that huge pillar, right? Same if you're doing work over long periods of time, or even work that you like, you're okay with letting this candle burn all day, all night, right? Even if you have to stop and start, because that does happen sometimes. But a candle you want to let burn all day, all night. You want to go for those bigger, larger candles. So if I have this isn't a hypothetical. I have a table set for creativity, spirit of muse, right? Spirit of creative endeavors. When I write my scripts, or just when I'm writing for fun, I light my devotional candle, which happens to be a novena, and then I put it out when I'm finished, right? So I could technically use a tea light, right? But because this is a devotional thing I do often, I prefer to just start with a novena and then, put it out when I'm finished. But say like I need to do some fast money work and that work needs to be done right now, I would opt to use a wicca wick or a chime candle, or opt to use, a taper, right? So because it's more of a one and done thing. If it's a one and done thing, or you only have small candles and you feel like the amount of wax, the amount of fuel you use for the fire is important, you might just use multiple candles in order to make up for the lack of size. But, so I'll have, if I'm doing the quick money work, I might use like 3 Wicca Wick candles, a white, a green, and a gold, right? I don't know. And then I have those colors, it's burning, right? And I can sit and do that work one and done, and I don't have to wait, I get the same amount of fire without having to wait 9 days for the work to be done. You feel what I'm saying? There are also figure candles, a man and a woman, a black cat, a dollar sign, a skull. Though not typical or necessary, they do have their place in work that we do, right? In love work, luck and protection, money work, domination work. Again, you can go from as simple as you want. Let me just go ahead to the dollar store, get this, 125 white paraffin wax candle or this saint candle and be done. Or you can take your behind over to the Botanica and get that special crafted skull candle for domination, right? Like all that's possible. And of course there are lamps, right? And lamps is a very old school method. A lot of times you hear people say, I'll just use white because, our ancestors didn't have purple and green candles. That's not true. When you get into traditional hoodoo, when you start reading about how traditional hoodies used to work, like in Harry Hyatt and places like that, you find that they definitely had color candles. but like on plantation, no, they probably plantation style work. No, they probably didn't have colored candles, but they probably didn't have candles at all. They probably just used lamps, right? Like if we want to talk about it. So you could use an old kerosene lamp. I like these because I have a little less fear of letting them burn all day. And it seems like a more controlled, a little less obvious way to do work, without anyone like in your home understanding what's happening. So you can create these types of lamps with olive oil and cotton balls and a mason jar, or you can go and actually get an old school kerosene lamp, and you would just place your herbs or whatever oils you want inside. If you are using a lamp, you'd be better off just getting the kerosene oil and dressing that oil as you need. Honestly, the type of candle you use will also directly correlate to any divination you'd like to complete. That is, if divination is included in the work that you're doing. You can't read wax from a kerosene lamp, right? I've seen people try to read the wax from a tea light. I definitely don't have that kind of talent to read a tea light wax. Like it's not enough for me to read. So maybe you are better versed at reading spilled wax, so you want to get a taper or an unglassed pillar candle, right? Unglassed pillar is what I mean. Those big hunks of wax. Maybe you want to read the wax off of the glass, right? Read the soot. Then you would need the glass novena candle, right? These are all just things to think about as you move forward. And I also want to let you know that, like, you don't always have to read the candle wax. So like I said, I have a candle on my altar that it's just a mainstay on my altar. I don't read the wax of that. I don't read that wax. It's that because there's nothing to divine. Right? Now, I might watch the flame of that candle. You know, that's definitely possible. But like if I'm doing work, like work, doom, quick money, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I would read the wax. Explaining candle wax divination on a podcast is kind of hard because you would need to see what I'm talking about, right? And this ain't one of those podcasts. So I'll look up some guides I think are pretty decent, and I'll link them in the show notes and you can give those a look. My preferred method, like I said before, is not necessarily to read the wax, but to read the flame of the candle. And if I am reading the wax, I'll watch how it burns. So I'll read the flame and watch how the wax pulls around it, right? See what shapes I see, allow my mind to go still and try to see what the flame is showing me. Again, if the work warrants it, right? Not always is it warranted. Okay, so third is setting the lights or fixing your candle. If the candle is large enough, you can write your prayer or petition on the glass or carve it into the pillar taper candle. Up to you, really. I prefer to just write the petition on paper. Place it under the candle plate, right? Because usually I then take that paper and use it as like a amulet or talisman for later. Like I'll carry it with me. Anointing. So things to keep in mind. First, the spirit of fire is to consume and transform. So you have to be careful how you fuel the flame. Right? You have to be careful how you fix the candle, right? I was exaggerating before. Do not dunk your candles in olive oil. So don't do that. I personally will anoint my hands, right? So I'll put the oil in my hand, rub my hands together to warm the oil, and I usually say my prayers. as I roll the candle between my hands. Now, this is specifically for unglassed candles, okay? Unglassed, your tapers, your chimes, your large pillars. I'll roll it between my hands. I roll it from base to tip if I'm removing something, because I'm moving the spirits away from me, right? So I'm moving the oil away from me, right? Or I'm sending it to the heavens, right? I'm sending it up, I'm sending it out, right? I roll it from tip to base if I'm asking for blessing. So I'm rolling the oil on the candle toward me, right? I'm bringing the blessings from heaven to myself. You feel what I'm saying? If you are using a glass candle and you want to fix that candle and anoint it, then you'd punch an odd number of holes in the top of the candle. It does not need to go all the way down, okay? And you would then anoint that candle in the top in a circular motion. Clockwise to bring something toward you, counterclockwise if you're pushing it away from you, okay? Then you would add your powders. So I've seen people use whole herbs, and I think that's pretty wild. It's a wild thing to do. I prefer instead to crush the herbs in a mortar and pestle or in a coffee grinder if I'm using some really tough roots. And I don't got the biceps for that. You know, my number is 3. So I pick 3 herbs or roots, crush it into a powder, and then I would roll the taper candle in that powder, or I would sprinkle a little bit of that powder on the top of that glass candle. I usually say my prayers as I crush the herbs. Definitely say the prayers as I crush the herbs. Again, the wax is the main fuel source, right? So the oils and powders are there for spiritual power to be transformed by the fire. So you don't need to add a lot of oils and powders. A thin layer is more than enough. You want to keep the spirits and the spirit orchestra in tune, not set your house on fire. All right. I'm telling you, you don't need to put crystal chips, glitter, coins in the wax. You don't need to do that. You can use other correspondences that will burn nicely without causing a mundane fire hazard. Okay? So I think that's the basics. I think we hit the basics. So then the question becomes, what's some candle work I can do to get started? That's simple, right? In Harry Hyatt's book, Hoodoo Conjuration, Witchcraft, and Root Work, there is one for luck. It comes from an informant from Alabama. This, it says, you take a white candle if you want luck. You can take that white candle and 3 loaves of sugar, and you light it. You set it with a name, your name, somebody else's name, and you put a piece of paper under the candle with that name, and you light it, the candle, and you make a wish. Okay, that seems really simple. It seems like a really simple thing to do. The same informant also gives a curse. They said that they use a red candle. Red is for blood. Okay, so you take the person's name, whoever you want to get into trouble, and you write the name of that person on the candle, all over the candle, up and down on the candle, and you burn it, and you tell the candle exactly what it is you want to have done to that person. Like, you make a bad wish is what they say. Okay. Some other very easy to follow candlework ideas are found in the book Power of the Psalms. I've said before, honestly, that the easiest thing you can do is light a candle, recite a psalm, and I mean it. Right? It's the easiest thing you can do. And what's crazy is that in Power of the Psalms, a lot of the work, the candlework they give, is not very Jesus-like. It's not Christian in nature at all. For example, in the book Power of Psalms, under Psalm 49, the instructions say, to expand one's psychic abilities, copy verses 1-4 of Psalm 49 onto paper and place it beneath a brown candle. when one is interested in increasing the second sight talents. Burn the candle while practicing telepathy, crystal gazing, extrasensory perception, or any other occult sciences. Yeah. I don't think your preacher's telling you about that one. Right? Or how about this one? Under Psalm 56, it says, to turn away wicked plots, light a black candle on which you have inscribed the name of the one who is working against you, and read Psalm 56 thoroughly. Dwell particularly on verses 6 and 10, as they will bring confidence in one's power to overcome the wrongdoers who may be conspiring to do evil. All right. Or how about this one? Under Psalm 76, it says, copy this psalm and place it beneath a green candle. Light the candle and let it burn while one is competing in a contest or playing a game of chance. Right? So literally, you're using a psalm to gamble. Personally, I do not think that's the best way to go about gambling and creating a hand for that or creating work around that. I think that carrying a mojo or a lucky gambling hand in particular, like just at all for money, would be better, right? Because as you gamble, you can squeeze that bag, you can squeeze that object in your pocket. But you know, maybe you're playing online poker and you're sitting at home, and so a candle might work just as well, right? I don't know. My personal favorite candle work to do is for money. I use a yellow or gold 7-day candle or a novena candle. And if you don't want to use yellow or gold, white or green will work just fine. I write my petition on a prayer. I write my petition or prayer on the glass of the actual candle. Okay. I dress the top with my money oil and my attraction oil. And I set it on a table near my front door, right? When I'm done with the glass, I usually clean it up, pour more wax into it, and do it again. I am known to make my own candles. I don't always go out and buy it. It depends on how lazy I'm feeling. If I do pour my own candle, a lot of times I will put the corresponding herbs and oils in the candle as I'm pouring it. But that's, again, we're trying to keep it simple, right? But yeah, that's my personal favorite. And then I just let that burn. I let it burn as long as I'm home. I have a cat. And so I have a cat who likes to run around. So burning a candle while I'm not home is not the safest thing to do for both my neighbors and my cat, right? But when I did not have a cat, there were many times where I just made sure that that candle was in a very safe spot, like a sink or something. And I just let it burn continuously, honestly. But because I'm a responsible adult, I'm telling you that if you're not around, you need to snuff the candle out and then just pray over again, relight it again when you get back home. Y'all ain't gonna sue me for bad advice. Tell you that. Okay, there are a million different ways to complete candle work. And when you start to add those other elements into the work, your herbs, your roots, colors, prayers, psalms, you know, how taking that candle with you into spiritual bath settings, the options become infinite, right? Don't be afraid to try some out. I'd start with the tried and true ones, like the ones in the books written by modern hoodoos, Power of the Psalms, the ones that you can find in Harry Hyatt's set of tomes. The ones that, if you have a mentor, work with that mentor. They're going to give you, they're going to show you, they're going to teach you all that stuff, right? Start with those tried and true ones. Then once you get the hang of the method, test your own work. I know that's not a very root worker, conjurer, hoodoo thing for me to say, right? Test your own work. But someone had to be the first to do it, right? So as long as you're working within the parameters of how our work works, try something. The worst that will happen is that it doesn't work. Simple as that. Okay. As you can tell by my voice, we've had a whole afternoon, evening, and night pass when I picked up this recording. So if you hear some chirping or if you hear some AC cut on, that's why. I have Big Sis here with me for a couple days. She's in town, and she burns so hot and so bright that she requires sub-zero temperatures in order to survive. So I love my sister. She's amazing. We've reached that part of the podcast where we dive into the online forums, and I pick out some questions I think might help us in whatever topic we're doing this week. This first question comes from Facebook. It says, what does it mean when your glass candles burn black? It seems like my protection or road opener candles start off good and burn black, but my money candles don't. I usually take a spiritual bath along with lighting my candles. A friend told me it could be the brand of candle or something like that. What are your thoughts? Hello, Gracie. Yeah, your friend is right. The friend is right. It's probably the brand of the candle. If every candle burns that way, then we can reach for the mundane answer that this particular candle made by this manufacturer burns that way. Now, when you have a situation where that's not the case, where this is like a one-off or a two-off, first you want to check to make sure that the wick is centered in the center of the glass. That's something you should always do when you buy candles. Just flip it over and look to see where that middle piece is, and then look at the top to make sure that it's centered in the glass. And when all those boxes are checked and it burns black, it usually means that there's some blockages in your life or blockages in your path. Now, if it starts black and clears up, it means that the work removed those blockages. So, you know, you might want to consult a spiritual expert. You might want to go again to see if it'll burn a complete clear burn this time. Those are all fine. But normally that's what that means. If it's black, then there were blockages. And if it clears up, then those blocks were removed. But yeah, check mundane first. And then if that doesn't work, if the mundane is all checked off and you still have that black soot, then that's probably the reason. Okay, next question. We're still in the Facebook world. It says, my reversal candle continues to burn even without wax. The flame is on the metal. Are there any candle readers who may be able to enlighten me as to what's happening here, if anything? So listen, I said before that candle reading is really hard to explain on an audio podcast because you need the visuals. But I think those two things are most important to remember. Black soot means blockages if that candle burns well typically, and then now this particular brand of candle has black soot, it means you have a blockage, and you have to take care of that. And then if it burns down to the metal, like all of the wax is consumed, all of the powders and oils are consumed in this glass candle, then it means that it burned clean. Right? That's what you're aiming for. You're aiming for a nice, clean burn because it means that the fire was able to consume, transform all of it. You know, that everything was sent up and that your work is done, like you've completed. I will say that you need to be careful, though, because sometimes when it gets down to just pulling like the last remnants of wax and it looks like it's burning on the metal, sometimes the glass will get so hot that it'll blow out the side of the glass, which is can be dangerous if you have the container just sitting around on a table or something. You know, you got to be careful with that. But it'll also blow out the side, and that just means it was so powerfully completed, you know, you were able to complete your work with a lot of force, a lot of power. So we never complain about a clean burn. Never complain about a clean burn. Okay. And this is a rare three question episode. I have a third question here. This one is from Reddit. This one is from the witch board on Reddit. This was taken like 6 days ago. It says, In the country where I live, at magic gatherings, they tell us not to use LED candles and that we must use actual candles. But when I went on Reddit, everyone was using LED candles. People are reluctant to use candles because of the fire risk. But can I use LEDs? Recently, there were a lot of forest fires in our country, and fire-related laws were strengthened because of that. I don't want to go to jail. Can I just ignore what the magicians in our country say? All right. So this is on the witch board. And when you're there, you have a hodgepodge collection of practitioners. So I'm going to gear this towards our practice, towards a hoodoo practice. And I'm going to tell you, I think I said it in the episode, Hoodoo Altars, Not Altars, that you can use LED, like when it's necessary for like a ancestor altar, for example. But I then backpedaled a little bit and was like, you can, but like really you want to try and use a real candle because of the flame and the wax and the offering and blah, blah, blah. So when you use a LED candle, you're not getting the spirit of the flame. Long story short, right? Because there's no flame involved. So in our practice, we would use we would not use an LED candle. We would try to use as many actual candles as possible. That said, if I have an ancestor altar right now, and inside of it I have a little LED, you know, so it acts as a ghost light all night long. But I have other offerings on that altar. I have, you know, whiskey. I burn incense. Like there's other things there, right? it's possible, but it's not, recommended, I would say. Like if you're actually doing work, you're laying your tricks, you're doing your work, you're calling your blessings, you need to use a flame, because remember that the spirit of, fire is to transform and transmute and to send it out, send it up right into the heavens, what we're asking for. So, you can't do that with an LED light. You just can't do that. You need to use an actual flame. Now, if you're in a place where you cannot use fire, then you need to, pick up that cunning, you know, go into that bag of tricks and find another way to complete the work without a candle. If it's devotional and it's a prayer, then maybe you can just light some incense, you know, so there's no open flame. It's a simple incense stick. You're less likely to burn shit down, you know. That might be the way to go for you. But yeah, stay away from LEDs as much as possible. Just find another way to go about it. I'm not saying that it's a blanket statement that you can never use an LED, because I'm sure we can all find one situation where it's not that big of a deal. But if you're doing actual candle work, like real deal candle work, you need a real deal candle, or you need a kerosene lamp for sure. Okay, cousin, we've reached the end of the podcast. last night, in my rounds of seeing family and stuff on a Friday, I visited my grandma. My grandma just discovered Amazon, y'all, so that was a whole thing. But while I was there, we chopped it up. We talked a little bit, and she told, you know, she was like, "Oh, you know, I just used to go to a lady who had the wisdom." She never calls it hoodoo. She never calls it root work. She always never calls it witchcraft. It's always the wisdom. I would go to the old folks with the wisdom. If they had any advice, I would take that, you know, and I would burn a black candle if, you know, things were being disrupted in the house, a white candle, if this, that, and the third. But you know, the candle I liked the most was that money candle from the shops. We were short on money. I burned that money candle and played a lottery. I sure would. So there's a grandma recommended. Get you a fast money candle from the shops. Just read the instructions on the candle and get you a scratch off, I guess. I don't know. So yeah, we've reached the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for staying with me for as long as you have. I appreciate you always for just listening in and spending time with me. I will do my best to make sure there's a playlist with all the other elemental advice talks listed, so that way you can get all of these in one spot if you're interested in that. But before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know that you deserve the world, okay? Not just the flame itself, but there's a fire that burns inside of all of us, right? And sometimes we try to diminish that flame, diminish that fire that burned for other people, or just so we can fit in societally. And I want to let you know, you don't got to do that, cousin. You don't got to do none of that, okay? So listen to your teacher, your mentor. Get a hold, like, listen to their wisdom. You know, talk to your old folks, see what they, you know, see what kind of wisdom they have. Dive into those books if you're free learning, and try to go into, you know, candle uses, right? Don't be afraid to try something, and know that when you call for your blessing, cousin, they do come to you very quickly. I'll see you guys next time.